In the Spirit of Medicine, the essays of family practice doctor and Mille Lacs Band member, Dr. Arnie Vainio.
There are maybe a double handful of people I really credit with my becoming a doctor. Walt Boersma is one of them. I first met him when I was 18 years old and unemployed. He was desperately looking for someone to do some manual labor on a construction job for a few weeks, and he found me in a bar. I was drunk, barefoot, disrespectful, and shooting pool, but he didn't really have any other choice on short notice. At age 18, I was looking for my way in the world, but didn't actually know I was lost. I showed up for work the next morning, and he put me to work digging in a ditch with a shovel. I have never been afraid of hard work, and found I really liked working construction. By the end of the week, he showed me how to operate a bulldozer, and the week after that, I was operating a big backhoe. I loved operating heavy equipment, and still do. I ended up working for him for years, and was the foreman and superintendent for his construction company. We worked across the country, and I lived in Colorado, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Montana. He trusted my judgment, and was not afraid to tell me so. We had one especially good year, and he gave me the choice of a week in Jamaica with his family or $1,500 as a Christmas bonus. At the time, I was trying to build a house for my mother and reluctantly had to choose the $1,500. He knew I had never been anywhere, and he gave me the money and the trip. We worked on projects for the Army Corps of Engineers. Walt spent much of his time dealing with the bureaucracy, and I was able to concentrate on the actual construction. He was outgoing and greeted everyone he met with a welcoming and outstretched hand. I think he actually enjoyed going toe-to-toe with the engineers and officers when there were disagreements with how things should be done. The Army Corps of Engineers was a stickler for staying with blueprints and plans, even if they didn't actually work in practice. My job was to make sure things were done right, in spite of the constant interruptions, to make sure we were following every word of the contracts, even when they contradicted themselves. After a few years, I wanted to be closer to home, to start working in my mother's house, and Walt and I parted ways. I rarely had a chance to talk to him. When I applied to medical school, I needed letters of recommendation for my interviews. These usually come from college professors and people with medical backgrounds, but it was important for me to Walt to write one of my letters. The first letter started, "When I first met Arnie, we were playing pool and I was getting ready to hire him. I beat him 6 games in a row. I hired him and I haven't beaten him since." The second letter was for the medical school, and he let me know he was proud to write it. Even he never expected I would dream of becoming a doctor, but he told me he was sure I could do it. I mostly saw him briefly around Christmas or other holidays, but only by chance. Then his son Tom committed suicide. Walt got up at the end of the funeral service and spoke to the congregation, but mostly he talked to Tom's casket. He was deeply hurt by Tom's death, and he was eloquently blaming himself in front of everyone. He said, "Son, I don't know why you did what you did, and I wish it could have been different. I'm sorry for any part I had in this," he said. This was heartbreaking, and Walt looked 30 years older than the last time I saw him. With my father's suicide over 45 years ago and the blame I put on myself for that entire time, I had to speak to him in front of everyone. I told them how I blamed myself for my father's suicide and how the woman who said, "Those goddamn Finlanders don't have the guts to shoot themselves," as he was leaving the bar, was haunted by that to her grave. But she didn't make my father commit suicide, and neither did I. No one could possibly know what Tom was thinking. My father knew. No one was responsible for Tom's death. Only Tom. I thanked Walt in front of everyone for taking a chance on me. He saw something in me when I was 18 that few other people could see, and he allowed it to grow. I would not be a doctor if it wasn't for Walt, and I wanted him and everyone else to know it. He did all the things fathers should do. He did those things for me, and he did them for Tom. Walt stood up and we held each other in front of everyone. "Thank you," he whispered. 2 years ago, I found out Walt had cancer. It was uncertain what type it was, and it had spread from his back into his lungs. He started undergoing chemotherapy for it, but kept working construction jobs in spite of his treatments. They seemed to be helping, and I was able to talk to him by phone a few times. He was still as sharp as ever and was not feeling sorry for himself. Then his cancer spread to his brain. He was undergoing a series of radiation treatments to try to shrink the tumor, and he was hopeful they were helping. He was weak from chemotherapy and radiation treatments and fell when he was trying to get up from the table. He fractured his tailbone and couldn't be at home anymore. His decline was rapid and relentless. He was moved to a nursing home, and his son let me know I should see him as he was confused and hadn't eaten in 6 days. I went to the nursing home and was looking for him in the dining hall. I couldn't see him, and the nurse told me, "You're standing right next to him." But I didn't recognize him. He was swollen from his treatments, and his silver hair and beard were gone. The always present twinkle in his eyes and his outstretched hand weren't there. I knelt down next to him and said, "Walt, it's Arnie. I wanted to thank you for everything you've done for me. I wouldn't be a doctor if it wasn't for you. My life is better because you were in it." But he didn't recognize me. "I think you've got the wrong guy," he said. He died 5 days later. Maybe he can recognize me now. "Walt, it's Arnie. I wanted to thank you for everything you've done for me. I wouldn't be a doctor if it wasn't for you. My life is better because you were in it. Thank you."
Dr. Arnie Vineo's essays on life, work, medicine, and spirit are published at Indians.com. And you can find the transcript of this story and more on our website at KUMD.org. In the Spirit of Medicine is produced by Dr. Arnie Vineo and Lisa Johnson, with music by Keith Sekola, and funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.